You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. It's so good to be with you on this first Sunday of the new year. I want to say a special welcome to all of our first-time guests. If you're joining us for the first time, my name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. We're so glad that you could be with us today. Happy New Year, everybody. I hope your New Year's off to a great start. Come on, how many of you are ready for 2021? You're ready for a new year? Like, yeah, we need a fresh start. Goodbye, 2020. I think we're all like hoping that 2021 is going to be a lot better year. Can I get an amen? Somebody give an amen in the comments there. But come on, let's be honest. Let's be real. Just because it's a new year, it doesn't mean that all of our problems are going to go away. I think we all know that, right? Like COVID's not going to just evaporate just because it's a new year. Like all of our problems aren't going away. Reality check, some of us brought some problems into this new year with us from last year. The reality is just because the date on the calendar has changed, it doesn't mean that our lives change automatically. We have to do some things to embrace life change. And that's what this day is going to be all about. That's what today's message is all about in this new series that we're kicking off. Because I want to just give you one thing that can help you have a better 2021. I think we all want to have a much better year this year than we had last year. And I want to just give you one thing to focus on. I know you got a bunch of New Year's resolutions, some goals that you're already thinking about. So I'm going to keep it simple and give you one thing. And here's the idea: to prioritize your relationship with God. Come on, I really believe if you prioritize your relationship with God, it'll affect every other area of your life. The truth is, we really can't control what's going to happen to us in 2021. We all learned that last year. But what we can control is who we become, how we get through this year. And if you'll prioritize your relationship with God, I believe it'll affect every area of your life. And so here's what we're doing. Next Sunday, we're kicking off 21 days of prayer. From January 11th through the 31st, we're going to encourage our whole church family to set aside some time daily to get back into the habit of daily prayer. We want to help you jumpstart your prayer life. And there's just something powerful about doing this together, knowing that we're all in this together for 21 days. I think scientists say something like, you know, it takes 2 weeks to start a new habit. We're gonna go for 3 weeks. We're going to make sure we really start our new year off to a strong start. We're also going to be encouraging everybody to do some form of fasting. So I'll be talking some more about that next Sunday to make sure we get you ready, but put some thought into that. And then also, we're going to have some resources available with you. If you go to our website, redemptioncommunitychurch.org, and you scroll down to where it says 21 days of prayer, we have a prayer guide, a PDF that's there for you. There's a kids version that you can download. So that's a really great resource for you to take advantage of. And keep an eye out for that page. We're going to be updating some resources for you there to help get your new year off to a strong start. Okay? Come on, we're all in this together. Let's get our hearts ready. Some churches are starting this week. We actually gave you an extra week to get ready, okay? You don't have to start fasting yet, so enjoy your donuts this week. But let's all come next Sunday ready to go. And by the way, you can start praying anytime. You can start praying like today to get your heart ready. Well, when it comes to prayer, let's be honest. For many of us, prayer seems really mysterious. For many of us, it's like, where do I find time to pray? I don't even know where to start, what to say. It doesn't feel practical. For some of you, you might even kind of feel like, why would God answer my prayers? Like, who am I that God would answer my prayers? And I think if we're honest, for many of us, praying kind of feels like making a wish, you know, just kind of making a wish and releasing it up into the heavens and hoping that something's going to happen with it. Come on, how many of you remember when you were a kid, when you had a birthday party, right? What did the adults tell you when you were blowing out the candles on your birthday cake? Make a wish, but don't tell anybody or it won't come true. Well, it didn't take long, right, after a few years for you to realize like this, you don't just get anything you wish for. I mean, for me, you know, after a couple years, like when I didn't get a Porsche, when the prettiest girl in school didn't fall in love with me, I realized this whole making a wish thing is a racket. But I think some of us feel that way when it comes to prayer. I think some of you have this sense of, I've prayed a lot of prayers and a lot of them haven't come to pass. And so many of us really don't have confidence when we pray because we don't know how to pray effectively. And so I want to show you one powerful verse that really has the potential to change the way you pray. Come on, how many of you want to get better at praying? How many of you want to see your prayer life be more effective? You want to begin to see God move in your life? Like, we all have needs. We all need God to show up in our lives in powerful ways in this next year ahead. And so I want to give you a scripture that's going to introduce a powerful concept that's going to help all of us grow in our relationship with God and get stronger in our prayer life. And here's what it is. It comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. The Apostle John writes this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Here's what John says. We can actually go to God with confidence. He says, this is the confidence that we have. And this scripture tells us how. How is it if we pray according to his will? In other words, if we ask God for what he already wants, if we pray according to his will. You say, well, Pastor Jeremy, that sounds funny. Let me illustrate it for you, okay? If my kids come to me and say, hey, Dad, is it okay if we clean our room today? I'm going to say yes, because it's always my will that my kids clean their room. If Amy comes to me and says, hey, Jeremy, how about I cook a really delicious dinner for you tonight and we put the kids to bed early? Come on. My answer is going to be yes, because that's always according to my will. If my boys come to me and say, hey, Dad, can we play with matches and gasoline in the garage? What's my answer going to be? No, because that's not according to my will. See, this will of God thing is really powerful when it comes to prayer. So here's the idea, and you can put this in your notes. Prayer is not a wishing relationship. It's a working relationship. It's partnership with God. It's not just making a wish and releasing it up into the heavens, hoping that God is going to hear from you. No, it's active partnership with God. It's a working relationship. Prayer is not about getting God to do what you want him to do. Okay? It's about God using your prayers to release the will of God in your life, in this world, on this planet that we live in. It's about God accomplishing what he wants to accomplish in our lives. And so if you want to pray effectively, the key is to learn to pray according to God's will. I'm going to give you some principles today. I'm going to give you four aspects of prayer. This is a really good opportunity for you to take some notes. Get out your phone, okay? Open up the Redemption app, get a notepad, something, your journal, and I want you to write down these ideas. I want to give you four aspects of effective prayer. You ready? Here's the first one. Number one, prayer is more about agreeing with God than it is about asking. Prayer is more about agreeing with God than it is about asking God to do whatever it is that you want him to do. See, when we're asking for something, when we're asking for something from God, we're starting with our agenda first. And many times when we pray, that's kind of what's on the forefront of our mind, what's on our agenda. But when we agree with God, we actually prioritize and we start with God's agenda first. So effective prayer actually starts with coming into agreement with God. Okay, what does that look like? I'm going to give you an example, and it comes from the Lord's Prayer, the most famous prayer in all of Scripture that most of us know, probably the first prayer you learned to pray as a child. But remember, there's a background, there's a context to this. Jesus' disciples came to him and said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Like, they had noticed that when Jesus prayed, he got results. Like, when Jesus prayed, people got healed, like God moved. They said, hey, John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And so here's what Jesus taught them. We're going to look at the first part of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Here's what he said. This then is how you should pray. He was teaching them how to pray. Not just a prayer that they could pray from rote memory, but a pattern of prayer, principles of prayer. Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, it first starts with agreement. Your kingdom come, right? Your rulership. Like, God, I'm inviting you to come and rule and reign in my life. I want your will. Like, if my will doesn't line up with your will, I choose your will. I invite you to be the king who sits on the throne of my heart. I'm not in charge. I'm not sitting on the throne. You're the God who's in charge of my life. Do you see it? It starts with agreement first. Then the prayer moves on to give us this day our daily bread, asking God for our needs. So it starts first with coming into agreement with God's will. Now, How many of you have ever wondered, I know you've asked this question before, if God is all powerful, right? Like God is able to do anything and he already has a will, like why doesn't he just do it? Like why do I have to pray? Come on, you ever have this feeling like, God, why don't you just do your thing? Just do what you're going to do, because why do I have to pray? And I don't claim to have a perfect answer to that question. I mean, scholars and theologians have been wrestling with that question for thousands of years, but we do see somewhat of an answer revealed in the Word of God. When we have questions like that, we look at Scripture to see what it reveals about God. And here's what we know, that God works primarily in our world through agreement. Most of what we see God doing in Scripture, as he interacts with humanity, he does as human beings come into agreement with his will. And we can see this principle in our lives when it comes to the conflict that we have with good and evil in our own lives. Like if you come into agreement with your own sinful nature, then bad things are going to happen. Come on, how many of you know we all experience temptation? We're all tempted to lust. We're all tempted to act out in anger. We're all tempted to bitterness. We're all tempted to not forgive people, but you don't have to agree with those things. In fact, you don't. Sometimes you do, but if you agreed with every temptation that came into your life, you'd be in trouble, right? Like if you cursed out every person at work that you wanted to curse out, you wouldn't have a job. If you said everything to your spouse for you married people that popped into your head, you wouldn't be married. When you come into agreement with your temptation, we know that bad things happen, and we know that the opposite is also true. When you come into agreement with God's will, then we come into blessings. Good things begin to happen in our lives. So this agreement principle is really, really powerful. See, there are some things that God wants to accomplish in your life, in this world, that won't come to pass unless you and I pray. I know you'd say, well, but isn't God in charge? Isn't God sovereign? Yeah, but some kind of way, God has left the world in a place that it's open. There are some things that can only be accomplished in prayer. He's left some things to be accomplished in this world through prayer. Prayer is the place where God's will and our will like synergize and come together. And when you begin to see it that way, you begin to realize that prayer is a really powerful thing. Let me give you an example, okay? Now, we're fresh off of the Christmas season, and just a few weeks ago, we looked at Mary's story, right? When the angel Gabriel announced this news to Mary that she was going to give birth to the Messiah, to the Savior of her people. And we all remember Mary's response. What did Mary say? How is this possible, right? I'm a virgin. Like, hello, I paid attention in biology class. Like, how could this come to pass? And let's look at the angel's response in Luke chapter 1. Here's what Gabriel said. He said, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Oh, come on. Let me just read that again. Somebody tuned into church on January 3rd, 2021, just to hear me read that scripture over your life. Nothing will be impossible with God. Some of you came into 2021 facing some impossible things. There are some needs in your life and it seems impossible, but I've got good news for you this morning, church, and on this new year. Nothing is impossible with God. It might be impossible with us, but it's not impossible with him. Let's keep going. Here's what he said. And Mary said, "Behold, the Lord's bondservant, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So Mary heard this announcement, the word of God, like you're going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit with the one who's going to be the Savior of your people. And she came into agreement. When Mary heard the word of God spoken over her life, the will of God that came in the word of God that was spoken over her, pronounced to her by the angel Gabriel. And when she said these words, "May it be done to me according to your word," she came into agreement. She came into agreement with the will of God. And what happened? A miracle took place in her life. She became at that moment pregnant by the Holy Spirit. See, she could have said, "No, I didn't sign up for this. Like, this wasn't my will." And we don't know what would have happened. But we know that she came into agreement with the will of God. And this is what prayer is. It's when you mix your faith with the word of God. When you mix your faith with the promises of God, with the will of God found in the word of God, it's powerful. It has the potential to change your life, even though it's not visible, even though you don't see it at first. Mary didn't see everything that took place in her life at that point. And so this is how you agree with God, and it makes your prayers effective. Here's the second principle I want to give you. We're talking about some principles, some aspects of effective prayer. Put this in your notes. Number two, prayer is not about overcoming God's reluctance. It's about tapping into God's willingness. Come on, you got to know this today. Prayer, it's not about overcoming God's reluctance. It's about tapping into God's willingness. You see, there are two perspectives about God. One is the wrong view of God. Here's the wrong view of God. It goes like this. God is distant. God has favorites. I'm not really high up on his agenda. He's busy. He doesn't have time for me, right? And so prayer is all about getting God to do something that he's really reluctant to do. If I could just get his attention. God, if you're up there somewhere, if you have time for little old me, that's the wrong view of God. That's the wrong view of God. But then there's the biblical view of God. The biblical view of God is God is not distant. Come on, he's a personal God. He's the God revealed to us in Jesus Christ. And he's actively working on your behalf. He's actively working in your life, in your family, in your need. Even when you weren't thinking about him, the scripture says that we love him because he first loved us. Even when you were in sin, the scripture says before we ever knew him, right? Like he loved us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's who God is. He's the God who's actively at work in your life. And so prayer is coming into agreement with God to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in your life. It's not that God is reluctant. It's tapping into prayers, tapping into God's willingness. Come on, how many of you really believe that God has a good plan for your life? Come on, how many of you really believe that? That God is working on your behalf? I mean, we sing it, even when I don't see you, you're working. Do you really believe it? Do you believe that God has a good plan for your life? See, prayer is about releasing that good plan into your life, into your world, into the circumstances of your life and the needs in your life and the circumstances around you. So if you see prayer this way, it really becomes powerful. If we really believe what we say we believe, if you're a follower of Christ, then prayer becomes a very, very powerful thing. Now, there's one thing you have to recognize, and that is this. God's will might be different than yours. Come on, how many of you know God's will might be different from yours? If you're a Jets fan, you already know this. Come on, you've been like praying for years. Like, come on, God's will is obviously not syncing up with you. Come on, we're praying for all of you long-suffering Jets fans. I'm sorry. Y'all can just come on, join me and become a Saints fan. Come on, get on God's team. But God's will might be different than yours. I mean, back to our story for a moment. Mary, you know, didn't think that she was going to become pregnant with the Messiah. That wasn't according to her will. That was like her will was different from God's will. She had a plan. She was going to get married and to Joseph and have babies, right? First comes love, then comes marriage, you know, then comes Joseph pushing the baby carriage. She had her own plans. And that's our problem, right? We know just enough. We have just enough knowledge to mess up our lives, to screw things up really well. Because like sometimes we want to impress and enforce our will on God. But we have to learn to trust that God is good. He's working in our lives. He's got a plan and a will for our lives, and it's good, and we have to trust him. And so prayer taps into that. But we have to recognize that God, sometimes he might say no to something we pray for. And we've experienced that. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes I say no to my kids because I have something better planned for them. Hey, Dad, can I eat junk food all day long? No, you can't, right? Because I know something, right? I have something in my heart that's better for them. It's not that God's reluctant. It's just that he's wiser. Come on, he's just wiser. He's a compassionate, good God. He has a will, and he's working that into your situation. It kind of reminds me of that old country song, that Garth Brooks song. You remember that song, Unanswered Prayers? Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. That's my best Garth Brooks for you, right? But there's a whole song there, and the idea is he's with his wife, and he meets his college sweetheart that he had prayed would be like the love of his life, and he launches into this whole song about, I thank God for unanswered prayers because God had something so much better for me. That's the idea. It's not that God's reluctant. It's that he's wiser, and he's compassionate, and so prayer is tapping into his willingness. All right. Here's the third thing. The third thing is this. We're talking about some principles of effective prayer. Prayer is about praying God's promises, not out of hopes, but out of my inheritance. Let me say that to you again. Prayer is about praying God's promises, not out of hopes, not just hoping, but out of my inheritance. And so sometimes when we go to pray, we kind of go to God with hopes. You know, we're just kind of hoping, just kind of wishing again. Like, God, I hope you'll do this for me. If you're up there somewhere, if you're listening, I hope you hear me. Come on, you know what I call, those are sissy prayers. You ever have somebody pray a sissy prayer for you? Like, they go to pray for you and it's like, oh God, if it's according to your will, would you please help my friend here? God, if you're listening, if you're available, let me just tell you, please don't ever pray a sissy prayer for me. Like, if I'm sick, I don't want you praying a sissy prayer for me because I might die. Like, I want you to pray with some faith for me if I have a need. If I'm sick, please pray and believe. Like, I'm going to speak healing over you if I pray for you and you're sick. I'm going to believe that God is good. I'm going to tap into my inheritance as a son or daughter of God. What does that mean? Let me explain to you, okay? Because why do we pray this way? Why do we pray this way? Because we don't know the basis of why we would expect God to even answer our prayers. That's the truth. When we pray that way, it really reveals that we don't have a very strong foundation, a basis that we would believe that God would show up in our lives and do anything anyway. See, effective prayer, it's not based on hopes. It's not based on just wishing God would do something. It's based on faith in what God has already indicated about you. And what is that? Well, let's listen to what the Apostle Paul describes. What happens when you place your faith in Christ, when you trusted in him, when the Holy Spirit ignited your heart and drew you to Christ as your Savior? This is what happened. This is how Paul describes it in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 17. He said this: the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Okay, this is for those of us who have placed our faith, trusted in Christ for our salvation. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Read this out loud with me. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That's who you are. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, something happened when you placed your faith in Jesus. Something happened in your heart. Something happened in your life. Something happened in the heavens. You became an heir to the promises of God, a co-heir with Christ. And so when you go to God in prayer, you don't go as some beggar. You don't go as some stranger, but you go as a son or a daughter with a right to an inheritance because you are a co-heir with Christ. You have a right to go to God. You have to go to him with confidence and faith. Let me just tell you something. When my kids come to me and ask me for something, they come asking with confidence. They expect to receive. Hey, Dad, can you get me some apple slices? Hey, Dad, can you fix my bike? Hey, Dad, can I have some money to go hang out with my friends? They come expecting. They come expecting to receive something. Why? Because they're my kids. Pray for me. I'm going to be broke. Come on. They have a little too much confidence. But they come expecting. They come expecting to get an answer. Why? They're not strangers, because they're my kids. And if you could begin to see yourself that way when you pray, it would change the way you pray. When you come to God in prayer, you're coming to him knowing that you're a co-heir with Christ. Come on, how would that change things? If you pray that way, I'm a co-heir with Christ. I inherit all of the promises of God. And so you can pray like you know who you are in Christ. When you go to him, you can go humbly but confidently. Not because you're a perfect Christian, not because you have perfect attendance at church, not because you never make mistakes or sin or mess up. No, because of who you are in Christ, because of what Christ Jesus has done on your behalf, you can go to him knowing who you are. Amen? Here's the fourth thing. I hope this is helping you out. If this is helping you out, give me some heart emojis or something. You know, I'm going to go back and watch this on Facebook. I want to see if you were tracking with me while I was preaching. Here's the fourth thing. Number four, prayer is less about making requests and more about making declarations. Come on, you got to get this. When we put it all together, when we add up everything that we're learning today, then we get to this other stage in prayer. And prayer becomes less about making requests. Don't get me wrong, it's okay to make requests. But then you get to this place where you begin to make declarations in your prayers. That's my hope for you. So it looks like something like this. Here's our attitude. Here's our posture. God, because I know what your word says. Come on, the will of God is found in the word of God, by the way. If you want to know if you're praying according to God's will, then you got to get into the word of God. The will of God is found in the word of God. So God, because I know what your word says, because I know who I am in Christ, because I know the promises that you have for me, I come into agreement with you and your promises for my life. And you begin to pray that way. Prayer is less about just making requests and begging God, and it becomes about making declarations about who God is and what he's promised to us. And so I'm going to illustrate this today. I got a check here with me today. And the team's going to help me out here. They're going to zoom in here. Here's a check. And I know most of us handle our finances digitally these days. For you millennials, this is called a check. You know, I know you pay for things with Venmo and Apple Pay, and you use your credit card. But every now and then, somebody writes you a check for something, right? Let me use this as an illustration. This check is made payable to every follower of Christ. Come on, every follower of Christ. Nobody's excluded. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, a son, a daughter of Christ, these promises are good for you. What's the amount? The amount is made to all God's promises. Notice in the amount box here, I wrote all of them. The scripture says in Christ, all of God's promises are yes and amen. Come on, I memoed it there. Amen. And it's signed by Jesus. Come on, Jesus made good on the promises of God. He paid for the promises of God, the blessings of God to become a reality in your life at the cross. He paid for it all. He paid for your sins. Jesus bore the curse that the blessing of God could prevail in your life. And so if all of God's promises in Christ are yes and amen, that means every time you come across the promises of God in Scripture, you can claim them for your life. But how many of you know there's one more thing you have to do with a check? Before you deposit a check, what do you have to do? You got to flip it over and you got to endorse it, right? You can't deposit it unless you sign it. Come on, I want you to get this idea in your heart today. Prayer is how you enact the transaction of receiving your inheritance. Prayer is how you come into agreement with God. Prayer is how you endorse the check. Prayer is how you enact the transaction. God, I'm coming into agreement with you for the promises of your word to come to pass in my life. And so when you pray, you begin to make declarations. You begin to declare the promises of God over your life. And so let's say you find out you're sick. You don't go to God begging God, hoping, wishing God, maybe if you hear me up there, maybe you could heal me. No. You begin to declare the promises of God. God, I'm sick, but I know you're the God who heals me. And by your stripes, I'm healed. Come on, if you have a financial need, you lose a job, you have an unexpected bill come into your life, you begin to declare, I know that you are the God who supplies all my needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Maybe you're struggling, beginning to feel lonely. You begin to declare, God, I know that you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. Maybe you're going through a season where you begin to feel fear. I'm afraid to even leave my house because I'm afraid I'm going to get the coronavirus. But God, I know that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Come on, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Somebody's coming against you. You're having a difficult time with a manager or a coworker or a neighbor. God, I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You're getting it this morning? You got to begin to declare the promises of God. You endorse the back of the check. God, I'm coming into agreement with you that all of your promises for me are yes and amen. Come on. That's how we trust God. That's how we begin to declare his promises over our lives. But here's the thing you have to understand. Here's one thing you have to understand. We don't get to determine when this check gets cashed. We don't get to determine the timing of when this check gets cashed. See, your job is to pray. Your job is to come into agreement with God. Your job is to trust his will, to learn to pray according to his will, to get your nose in the word of God so you can pray prayers that come into agreement with his will. But then here's what we do. The rest is up to him. Come on, that's the trust part. That's the faith part. God, I don't get to trust you for the timing. How many of you have walked with God long enough to discover that God's timing is often not your timing? God doesn't do everything according to your timetable, or sometimes God says no, or sometimes God has something else in mind. It's not up to us to determine when it happens, how it happens. We're going to come into agreement with God and trust him with the rest. Folks, church, this is how we pray effective prayers. This is the posture of effective prayer. We take hold of the promises of God. We grab the promises of God, and by faith, we pray them back to God. God, I'm taking your will. I'm coming into agreement with you, and I'm praying the promises of God back to you, God. I want what you want for my life. I choose to say yes to what you've already said yes to. I want what you want for my life, but God, I'm going to trust you with the rest. I'm going to trust you with the timing. I'm going to trust you of how it all plays out. I'm going to trust that you are God, that you're sovereign, that you're in charge, and I am not. And even when I don't understand how you're working, what you're doing, what the timing is, I choose to believe that you're good. Come on, God, I choose to believe that you're loving, that you're kind, that you're compassionate. I choose to believe that you are the God revealed to me in the very person of Jesus Christ who poured out his love over my life on the cross. Church, that's how we pray. That's how we pray. And so I want to invite every one of you to join us in this 21 days of prayer starting next Sunday. We're going to go on this journey together. We're going to jumpstart our spiritual life. We're going to jumpstart our relationship with God. We're going to blow the dust off of our prayer lives. And something's going to happen. I really believe over the next few weeks, something's going to happen in your life. You're going to get closer to God. You get closer to God and watch how it impacts every area of your life. I know some of you, I'm really busy, Pastor Jeremy. I don't know if I have time for prayer. Let me speak to the men for just a minute. Some of you men, I'm a deal maker. I'm a hustler. I have to work hard. I got to provide for my family. Listen, you want to see God breakthrough in your life? Dedicate some time to prayer. The greatest breakthroughs, the greatest dreams, the best thing that ever happened to my life as a man, as a husband, as a father, have come to me through prayer. Watch what happens when you pray. You want a better marriage? Want your finances to get better? Want your health to get better? It'll renew your mind. It'll cause you to hear God's voice. I'm not saying all your problems are going to go away, but everything gets better when you get closer to God. So go on this journey with us starting next week. And here's the other thing. You got to get back into the Word of God. If you want to pray according to His will, then you got to get back into the Word of God. So can I just encourage you to add a daily time of meditating on God's Word to your prayer life? So maybe that means opening up your phone, getting the Bible app, and starting a new reading plan. If you want to know what I'm reading, I do the Bible in 1 year with Nikki Gumbel, British pastor, has a really great British accent. I listen to him. He gives a devotional, and I go through the Word of God every day. Maybe go to our website, scroll down to 21 Days of Prayer, and open up that prayer guide. It's a great place to start. Something powerful happens when you begin to pray according to the will of God. And so here's our prayer as we close today. God, teach us to pray. Just like the disciples came to Jesus, teach us to pray. Make us people of prayer. Come on, would you pray with me right now? Can you come into agreement with me right now for that prayer to come to pass in our lives? Father, we thank you today that you're a good God. You're a loving God. You're a God who sees us. You're a God who wants to meet our needs. You're a God who wants to move in our lives. And Lord, today we pray the same prayer that the disciples prayed. Jesus, teach us to pray. Make us people of prayer. Holy Spirit, pray with us. God, we need your help for this. Lord, today we want to come into agreement with your will. For every good and perfect gift is from you, God. We want to add our yes to your yes. We want to learn to trust you like never before, to believe that you're not just a God up there somewhere, but you're a God who's working in our lives. Father, I pray for breakthrough. I know there are people watching this broadcast right now. There are real needs in our church. People who need a breakthrough in their finances. People who need a breakthrough in their health. People who need a breakthrough in their marriage. People who need to forgive someone. People who need to trust you like never before this year. Father, we pray that this year, as we start the year off by prioritizing our relationship with you, that we'll experience a breakthrough in our lives and we'll never be the same. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.